Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am delighted to be back here with you. That really does an old lady good, you know. Thank you very much. I welcome all to this service. If there are any visitors here, these people are the most welcoming people in the world. So enjoy. Let us turn to our hymn, Easter People, Raise Your Voices.
Scriptures were written by Luke, a physician who was Greek and Gentile Christian. He's the only known Gentile author in the New Testament. He was a close friend of the Apostle Paul. Luke's gospel was written around 60 AD, and he wrote it to present an accurate account of Christ's life and to present Christ as the perfect man and Savior. Today's reading from Luke 24, 13 through 35 takes place on Easter Sunday. Listen to the Word of God. That same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they were talking and thinking about what had happened, Jesus came near and started walking along beside them. But they did not know who he was. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about as you walked along?" The two of them stood there looking sad and gloomy, and then one named Cleopas asked Jesus, "Are you the only person from Jerusalem who didn't know what has been happening these last few days?" "What do you mean?" Jesus asked. They answered, "Those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth. By what he said and did, he showed that he was a powerful prophet who pleased God and all the people." Then the chief priests and our leaders had him arrested and sentenced to die on a cross. We had hoped that he would be the one to set Israel free, but it has already been 3 days since all this happened. Some women in our group surprised us. They had gone to the tomb early in the morning, but did not find the body of Jesus. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some men from our group went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus either. Then Jesus asked the two disciples, "Why can't you understand? How can you be so slow to believe all that the prophets said? Didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer before he was given his glory?" Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the book of the prophets. When the two of them came near the village where they were going, Jesus seemed to be going further, but they begged him, "Stay with us. It's already late and the sun is going down." So Jesus went into the house to stay with them. After Jesus sat down to eat, he took some bread. He blessed it, and he broke it. And then he gave it to them, and at once they knew who he was. But he disappeared. They said to each other, "When he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us, didn't it warm our hearts?" So they got right up and returned to Jerusalem. The two disciples found the 11 apostles and the others gathered together, and they learned from the group that the Lord was really alive and had appeared to Peter. Then the disciples from Emmaus told what happened on the road and how they knew he was the Lord when he broke the bread. This is God's word for God's people.
Today is a day that is designated in the Methodist Church year to honor Native Americans. So we have selected an anthem to share with you today called Now I Walk in Beauty, which really honors the beauty of our earth and nature and all that God has created for us. So I would like to begin with having Alex read a reading that celebrates the beauty of the earth in the spirit of the Native Americans.
O Great Spirit, whose breath gives life to the world and whose voice is heard in the soft breeze, we need your strength and wisdom. Cause us to walk in beauty. Give us eyes ever to behold the red and purple sunset. Make us wise so that we may understand what you have taught us. Help us learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. Make us always ready to come to you with clean hands and steady eyes, so when life fades like the fading sunset, our spirits may come to you without shame. Amen.
Of Native American Sunday, it's been pretty much limited to a free will offering. Thinking through the organization of this particular Sunday and how it could be more meaningful, we had a unique situation in having Alex in our church community. Quite accurately, the first time a Native American has ever been part of our congregation. So we're particularly privileged to have this opportunity. When Alex finishes with background, we thought we'd take just a few minutes for questions.
I'll start by saying Kwe Kwe, which means hello in Native American. My name is Alex Albany. Neshobet is my Native American name. It means grandfather. I was born in Haileybury, Ontario, Canada. I lived at Moat's Landing, which is by the Montreal River, where we did a lot of fishing and hunting. We lived far away from any school. Then I went to North Bay in different foster homes in order to go to school. Then from Moat's Landing, we lived on the Matachuan Indian Reservation, which had about 8 families. Then my sister Mary wanted me to move to her reservation, which was the Bear Island Reservation. On the island, Mary taught the Native American language. We had tribal powwows, and we had tribal dances and games and different ceremonies. And we had also a medicine man. And on the reservation, we had about 30 families. We had a school, and we had an exercise building. And because it was an island, what was kind of funny was the bears would swim from the mainland to the island, and once in a while, you'd see a bear swimming back and forth. Anyways, I moved to the USA in 1978 And the reason why I did this was because I fell in love with an American girl. And we've been married for 36 years. I have two sons, Michael and Alan, and four grandchildren. I teach martial arts for free to those who wish to learn for primarily exercise or self-defense.
I'd like to start questions. Albany certainly doesn't sound like a Native American name. How did you become Alex Albany?
Well, you'd have to have a really good map of Canada. It's way up in Canada. You'll see a Albany River. It's a pretty long river. And we live by there. When the white man came up there, they couldn't pronounce our Native American name. And because we live by the Albany River, we got the name Albany.
So, other questions?
The name of the tribe?
What?
Oh, on my mother's side, it was the Cree, and on my father's side, it was the Ojibwe.
You encountered a medicine man. What did he do?
The medicine man, the main thing he did was he had any physical ailments, he could help you with that. And he also had all these different herbs and things he carried around, and he could help you with cuts. If you had a behavioral issue, he could give you kind of like free counseling. That was basically about what he could do. I never personally had any conflict with what he taught.
Alex, how did you happen to go to school? Did your parents just decide one day they'd send you away to school?
Well, actually, we lived so far way back in the woods, about 18 miles, that the Children's Day Society would just come and get us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten no schooling.
So during the whole school year, you lived away from your parents?
Yes.
So how did you get to meet an American woman?
Oh, that's an interesting story, too. Okay, this is what happened. Her and her family would come up to Moose Landing for hunting and fishing camp. I fell in love with an American woman, but then she met... She met another guy, so then I married her sister, and that's who I'm with today.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
Another question?
We are so glad you came to the United Methodist Church. Why you selected us to come here?
Oh, well, that's only because you were super close. Plus, when I came here right away, you guys were all friendly, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Something Alex would not tell you that I will share with you. He is definitely a student of the Bible. We play checkers once a week, and leading up to checkers, we talk, for the most part, religion. And if there's any question at all, Alex can quote chapter and verse of the Bible that will support his particular position. Many times it's not my position, but that's but that's part of the enjoyment of our being friends. And I value that, and you would too. Thank you, Alex.
Okay.
We are very blessed to have you, Alex, and I really appreciate you speaking up this morning. In my 35 years of ministry, I have never had a Native American person as part of the congregation. So I, too, feel very blessed to hear your story. And I'm sure there are many other stories out there that need to be heard. So I would encourage anybody who knows any Native Americans, gather the stories there. They're very important and part of who we all are. So thanks again for sharing your story. So, what do you do when your heart is breaking? When you are sad and the person that you have counted on is no longer a physical presence, what do you do? Well, like those disciples that day, when life gets a hold of me and I need to find a better connection with God, I often take a walk. Try to picture in your mind's eye for a minute what it must have been like for these disciples. We know they weren't really listening to what Jesus said. We know that by other references in the gospel accounts. So somehow they missed the part about resurrection. Or if they heard it, they didn't know what that really meant. So they were out for a walk, 3 days after the death resurrection event, walking along, talking, or simply feeling sad. They also didn't notice very much when somebody else joined them. Someone who didn't seem to know what was going on in and around Jerusalem. How could this stranger not know about that terrible crucifixion? We know it's 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a long enough walk to really allow one to grieve, to think, to ponder about what Jesus was doing in their lives. It's a time to talk things over, to remember all that had happened in the last 3 years. The women said the tomb was empty. What does that mean? Does that mean somebody stole the body? What could it mean? A long walk might help clear the air, clear their heads, and get back to life as usual. Their hearts were broken. How does one live with a broken heart? That might have been their question that day. And it is a question that the author Anne Voskamp is trying to answer in a book called The Broken Way. That book was given to me recently, and I've been reading it. For this is not only the question of the disciples, but it is a question that we all deal with in our lives at some point. One doesn't get to be as old as I am in the late 70s without feeling brokenhearted. Everyone looks for ways to deal with their pain. Some turn to alcohol or drugs to rid themselves of pain. This author, Anne Voskamp, admits that she was one of those teenagers who cut herself trying to let the pain out. The pain of leaving her mother in a psychiatric ward. The pain of living without her mother close at hand. The pain of hearing a pastor of a church talk about those in the loony bin and listening to other people laugh. I quote her, "I'd looked at the floor when everyone laughed. They didn't know how I had left my only mama behind the locked doors of psychiatric wards more than a few times. When they laughed, I felt the blood drain away from my face, and I wanted to stand up and howl, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.' When the church isn't for suffering and the broken, then the church isn't for Christ." End quote. I think that's pretty much where those disciples were that day. They were brokenhearted and had been laughed at, criticized for being with Jesus, and they didn't know how to allow their broken hearts to heal until they stopped for the evening meal and invited the stranger in their midst to come on in and eat with them. Then they knew it was Jesus. He broke the bread over their broken hearts, and suddenly they could see him. He is risen. He's alive within our hearts. Yes, it's all true, and love is the answer to our wandering and our wondering. God's love shining through our broken hearts and our broken lives. Anne Voskamp tells the story of her daughter, whose name is Shalom. Shalom means peace. Shalom is trying to tape a large paper heart over her own heart. And again, I quote, "I just want the heart taped to me right here." She staccatos her finger off her chest. I'm on my knees in front of her, half smiling, looking up into her face. My thumb smoothing the tape line of this exposed heart. And why are we doing this exactly? I ask the question even though we'd just talked it over that morning at breakfast about how we need to give love to others. So, of course, she's trying to put into practice her mother's half-baked words, and I'm going to have to tell her this is bold and brilliant, making herself into a walking sign of my breakfast lecture. We need to take hearts right to us, Mama, so we always know God's love's around us everywhere. She looks down and smooths the paper heart, and then the inevitable happens. What always happens, the heart breaks, rips right down the center, just where she tried to smooth everything out. Shalom looks down, and I'm waiting for her to brim and run. It's all okay, she finds the right first words. She holds the torn bit of her paper heart out to me. Maybe the love gets in easier, right where the hearts broke open. Maybe the love gets in easier, right where the hearts broke open. End quote. Could that be what the disciples learned that day? That the love gets in right where the hearts broke open? It's not terribly good English, but it's good theology. I think that's the point, don't you? Love, that's what everyone wants. Human love that comes from God. God's love is the kind of love Jesus showed us. That's the love that lasts. That's what the cross represents. No matter what they're saying, everyone's asking, can you just love me? Yes, God's love gets in when the hearts broke open. Love bears all things. To bear is stiego in Greek. Stiego, it literally means a thatch roof. Love is a roof, and we all need a roof. Love bears all things like a roof bears the wind and the rain, like a roof bears the burden of lashing storms, brutal heat. Real love is a roof. Real love makes you into a shelter. Real love makes you into a safe place. Real love makes you safe. Diego. This church, I have heard it in the Bible study and in other places where you have gathered or just talked to me. Some wish that DJ could stay on and be your pastor. And others have asked me why I couldn't come out of retirement and be your pastor. And we all know that's pretty laughable. But neither of us is the right answer for you at this time in your lives. Both DJ and I will always pray for all of you, for this church and this community. But God is going to do a new thing right here in Avon. We don't know who the next leader will be, but we trust in God. And I know that you all know how to love as God loves. I know that you know how to love because you have loved me. So I'm asking you from the bottom of my broken heart to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable to this next pastor, no matter what else you do. Be open to God's love and allow God to pour that love into you so that you may pour that love out to your next pastor. Allow God to help you be the roof for that person and for the family that may come with that person. Do some small thing with love. Maybe sharing a task. Maybe a smile when you don't really feel like it. Maybe just listening when you'd rather speak. I know how that feels. If it's done with God's love, you will discover Jesus in the breaking of the bread. God is love. And because God is love, God gets to define love. This is how we ought to love. That's how Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Love is not always agreement with someone, but it's always sacrifice for someone. Love only has logic, only has meaning when it takes the form of the cross. You do something great with your life when you do all the small things with God's great love. You may end up complimenting an insecure kid, doing a messy chore, making a tired man's bed, taping a scrawled love note to a smudged and splattered mirror, or putting a Band-Aid on a small child's skin knee. But done in God's love, it is everything. Everything. That's what the disciples learned on that walk that day. In a moment of tangible love that embraces the brokenness of betrayal and cross, the rays of Easter sunrise have illumined the crypt of their entombed hopes. Broken bread nurses our broken faith and can nourish the courage we need to leave our grave clothes behind and vacate the vault of our defeated dreams. The pilgrimage of faith has begun again, right here. Let's go for a walk, either physically or mentally. We will meet Jesus unexpectedly. Thanks be to God. Jesus by our side. Go forth. Go and love. Amen.
This has been Go for a Walk with Pastor Mary Martin on April 30th, 2017. How do we recover from a broken heart? The crucifixion aftermath and meaning from the disciples' experience to ours as individuals and as a church. Also, a celebration of Native American Sunday with Alex Albany.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.